Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust. Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Hey, I'm Mike.
Hey, I'm Ethan.
I watched the first half of On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
I watched the second half of On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
And this is the other half.
Watch till you can't.
We're back in normal Bond. We're back. None of this weird parody shit.
No.
We're back normal.
We're back to normal, but we're not back to Sean Connery.
No. In fact, we're not back to another Bond we can really bond with. This is the only Bond movie
that this man was in. George Lazenby?
George Lazenby. It's the only one he was ever in. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, he was like, I'm peacing out. I don't want to be a fucking Bond anymore, which is crazy to me.
It's crazy to me. Yeah, I read a bit of this earlier on that he apparently only took one deal. A lot of people said he shouldn't have done that. And he was like, yeah, I don't think this this James Bond look is going to be very appealing in the 60s and 70s as hippie culture becomes more prevalent. And then he apparently later regretted that decision, which is appropriate.
Fair.
Yeah, he should regret that decision because honestly, he's not that bad.
He's OK.
He's a little boring.
Yeah, he's just a little bland.
Yeah,
he doesn't really feel like he doesn't have that suaveness to him. He just kind of feels more everyman in a bad way.
I think he actually, okay, so two things. One, he isn't really being James Bond most of the movie, right?
Because no, he's kind of being a lot different. He's
playing another guy.
Huh? Oh yeah, he's playing another guy, you're right.
Yeah, he's
not my half, but yeah.
Oh, okay. And then the other thing is, it's just like, I don't know if it's because I think he's actually too suave's not the right word for it, because he's I think he lacks like
He's too put together.
Yeah, he lacks like that primality that somebody like Sean Connery brings.
This is a pussy Bond. Is what we're saying.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah.
He doesn't have the machismo factor.
Like Connery feels like,
which is weird to say because we're always criticizing the machismo factor, but
it needs to exist a little bit. Like Bond does need to feel like a guy who could, you know, fucking rip a phone book in half, but chooses not to, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
I think that's the thing. He has the power to do it, but not. But this guy just feels like
he couldn't do anything.
No,
he looks like he's going to go and speak to a manager.
You know what he looks like he's going to do? He looks like he's going to ski down the Alps.
Oh, is that what he does?
Well, oh, boy.
And it looks terrible.
Oof. It looks good 20% of the time.
I will say, I thought this was the best looking James Bond movie.
I agree. I think
thank God.
I love the vibe of this movie
a lot. It is great.
The vibe of this movie is like so, maybe it's just because, you know, we grew up on the Pierce Brosnan version.
Yeah, yeah.
But like there's something about like slopes and snow and kind of like bases that are built in that just feels like James Bond.
I just think like some of these shots, like I don't know who directed this movie, but the fucking director is just like killing it. Like he's cooking in certain scenes,
yeah,
which I will
cool.
get into. Like he uses color really well, he uses composition very effectively. Like other movies, boring as fuck. looks bad. Like, you know, fight scenes are terrible. And there's some boring scenes in this, which I'm going to get to. But overall, very good looking film. Like, whoever directed this movie, fucking
I do think they struggle with action scenes in this movie. But they are going for ambitious action scenes, so they are harder to cut together.
And that's true. I'm going to actually look up the director of this movie. Peter R. Hunt is the guy's name.
Mm.
Oh, he edited a bunch of earlier movies. He edited Dr. No, You Only Live Twice, and Thunderball. So he was primarily an editor, and then he became the director of this movie. So it seems like he was mostly
what an upgrade. What a promotion.
Truly. Yeah, honor. No, this was his first movie he ever directed.
Oh, wow. Okay. Good for him.
And then he went went on to not really make anything else of note.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he wasn't the director of photography. So,
yeah, that's true. That's true. Know. Maybe the director of photography is somebody we should be hitting up. But overall, this movie looked fucking amazing, and I will go into those scenes. Starting out with the movie opening, fedora.
Oh, they put a fedora on him.
I am wondering if this is some weird Mandela effect. Like, maybe he's always wearing a fedora. Because we keep noting...
There's no way he does in the modern films.
Maybe this is a Mandela thing. I don't know. Maybe he does.
There's no way. No, because fedoras just took up, like, at some point in the 80s or 90s, fedoras just took up, like...
Too cringe. Once they started selling them at Target, they wouldn't allow them
yes,
to wear
exactly,
them anymore.
Yes, exactly, yeah. And their weird Pride collection. Mm-hmm. That doesn't have any text on it. It's got Laura Ibsen on it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Wrote down, oh my God, the theme is electric. Now, I was talking to Ethan about this a little earlier off mic, that we don't have that fucking bass line. Yeah.
It ain't it.
It's missing it. And it's the same thing. Honestly, like, the bass line offers a level of machismo. Like, yeah. It offers a level of masculinity.
This is a different Bond. They're trying to be like, we're going to give you a different flavor.
And they do.
Yeah.
And it's not a good flavor. It's vanilla.
It's very vanilla. And that's, I mean, the thing is, they could work something like this, but it just doesn't feel like the right
thing. This isn't working. We open with a Q showing M. Radioactive lint. I guess you can just put it in somebody's like pocket and that really person will die.
I feel like they're running out of ideas.
They really are. And they're having trouble getting a hold of 007. They can't get a hold of him.
Dry cleaner trying to get all the lint off.
Yeah. So most of the theme is brass instruments, but it's really like the actual like James Bond theme is done like on electric, like Casio or something like that. It fucking sounds awful. And during this opening, they are super cagey about showing Bond's face.
So there's no fucking cool music or anything? There's no, not like, yet. Actual... Okay.
Not yet. Because they don't want to reveal who's playing Bond yet.
Oh, yeah. They right? have these cards to play. They had to have a trailer at some point.
Maybe. Back in the day, people just walked into movies, man.
Yeah, you're right. They did. Like, what's playing today? I like a James Bond. I'll watch it.
Oh, I'm walking halfway through it. Who cares?
Yeah.
So the movie's super cagey about showing Bond's face or hearing his voice. A lot of, you'll hear he's like, or you'll hear like, or like his face will be in silhouette or he'll only show like his mouth or whatever. So remember how earlier when we were met Sean Connery, I wrote down like all the things we see when we're first meeting him. So here's what we see when we meet this James Bond.
It's just like Indiana Jones.
Yes. You see him driving. You see him smoking. And there's like a close-up shot of him smoking and like his like lips and chin get all lit up. You see his chin. And then from far away, he sees a woman walking on a beach and walking into the water, like trying to drown herself. And so he drives his car onto the beach very clumsily and he runs into the water. And it's this really long wide shot. It looks terrible. And he carries her onto shore and she like flops onto the ground and she says, "Who are you?" And he goes, "Bond. James Bond." And then immediately a guy pulls a gun on him.
Cool.
So remember originally it was like Sean Connery's like in a position where he feels like in control, but it's also like a little dangerous because it's like gambling and you know, he's like very calm and smooth and collected. This James Bond is like fucking driving his car on a dirt and like getting wet. And it's just like, it doesn't fucking vibe, man. Bad opening, bad way to introduce this fucking guy. And then he gets in this big sloppy fucking clumsy fight in the surf. And I just wrote down, it looks like two children roughhousing. Just like flopping around in the water. And he ends up drowning the guy, and then he knocks a couple of the other fucking goons into like beached boats. And I'm like, you're not even really dispatching him. It's just like a boat landed on him. This dude's just gonna like lift the boat off of him, but it's fine. And then the woman who he saved drives off in his car to take her car to get to her car, and then drives off in her car, drives away. So that woman that he saved ends up just like leaving, and he's left on the beach alone in the dark, covered in water, you know. Made a fool of. Okay.
Got it.
And this is how we're introduced to him. And then he says,
they're already like, this guy sucks. We don't want to do anything with him.
And then he says,
this never happened to the other fella.
Oh, so it is canonical that he's a different Bond then.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't
know. They just gave him a different 007. That's a weird choice.
Weird way
also,
to open him.
This motherfucker quips so much.
He does. He's really quippy.
He quips even more than I feel like Sean Connery did. Like, he has a quip everything in moments where it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Maybe it's, what is it? It's like the Arnold Schwarzenegger thing when he was like signed up for movies. He had a quip, like pun writer to just like write puns for him and put in movies.
Feel like that.
That's what it feels like. All right. So already off to a rocky start. Mm-hmm. Not a big fan of this movie. The intro of this movie is fucking awesome.
Really?
I love the intro. The song is like barely not, there's no singing in it. It's just sort of like a theme, like musical theme.
Mm-hmm.
But the fucking intro is incredible. Silhouettes of women that turn into martini glasses, that turn into an hourglass with sand, and then the sand shows clips from previous movies to show that time is passing, and then you see like a Big Ben come out, like the arms and the numbers of Big Ben, and you see like a silhouette of James Bond holding the end of like one of the mm-hmm. arms.
Cool.
Shit rocked. I was like, this is an intro. Holy fucking shit. Like, this is so much better than fucking like Three Blind Mice, like in the original one.
Man. Oh man, Buying mice. Never forget.
Never fucking forget. So, James Bond arrives in an extravagant resort casino, and instantly I was just like, because I just fucking saw a casino and I hated it. And they're playing baccarat, and he's gambling.
Back at it again, baby, at the baccarat.
I wrote down, I don't understand this game. It is very confusing. They keep saying the word bonk. I don't know what they. I don't know what they're fucking saying.
Bonk. I'm pretty sure that's what the Costco boys say.
Bonk.
Bonk. I give this five big bonks.
Bonks. And so then a woman is introduced, but she's not introduced face first. She's introduced tits first.
Oh,
we
nice.
See her tits first, and her face is obscured. And
is
then
it Tracy?
Huh? It's Tracy. Hmm. Did you recognize her? I don't think you could.
No, I don't think so.
She was the old lady in Game of Thrones that was like, tell him it was me.
Oh, badass.
That's her.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Introduce tits first.
Tits first to wider America.
Wow. Yeah. Crazy.
So it's her name is Tracy or Teresa, which is what other people call her. She jumps. She sits at the table and immediately loses. And she doesn't have any money. So it's like, what am I going to pay everybody out with? And so Bond immediately covers for her and says that they're playing as partners. And she immediately walks away and he goes up and orders drinks for her. And she knows who he is. She's like, Mr. Bond, I have no interest in you. So she is apparently a Contessa, Teresa, or Tracy. And she gives him her room key.
Oh,
even though she's a little bit standoffish. And so he arrives at her room and immediately gets hit by some guy.
Yeah.
And there's a big fight that goes on. And I wrote down, the fight is good. You can feel the heat, though. There are some really goofy shots, like they're speeding up the footage. So it's not necessarily like they're
speeding up the footage in the weirdest ways.
It's not like they're speeding up like normal sped up footage, though. It looks like they probably shot it in slow motion and then sped it up to make it look normal. But it's still super jerky. So, yeah, it almost looks like stop motion almost. So he beats the fucking guy up and he takes some caviar from like a little like bar cart that was in her room. And you see the camera shadow on the wall. And I'm just like, this fucking director, first time director, you know, he's having a rough time with it. You know, you're seeing the camera shadow.
Camera shadow.
Yeah.
Dude.
It's his first day on the job. What's going on?
Throw this movie in the trash.
So he goes back to his room and he takes his like gun off and he puts it on the table and he goes to look at himself in the mirror. And then she's there and she takes the gun out. And like points it at him and she's very scantily clad and he wants to know who the man in her room was. And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And he just fucking slaps her really fucking hard.
Ooh.
And then she's and so then she goes to like kiss him and he tells her to get dressed and he puts his gun in the end table. And the guy Bond beat up earlier is now awake and listening to them inside of his room. And she says that she doesn't want to tell him anything, only that she pays her debts. And obviously she's indebted to him because he covered her, you know, gambling earlier.
Right.
And so the guy listening doesn't want to hear him fuck, but they do fuck. And the next morning he wakes up and Tracy has checked out of the hotel and his gun is gone. And the gun is replaced by the money that she owes him, basically. Mm.
Probably, I bet that gun's probably worth more than money.
Probably. Well, we're about to see that gun very soon because later on, as James Bond is checking out of the hotel, another dude holding his gun and pointing it at him, and he's brought to a car. The dude that beat him up earlier is in the back seat with a knife pointed at James Bond, and they arrive at a factory late at night, and Bond is trying to play it really cool. He's just like, yeah, you know, I'm like, oh, where are you taking me? Is this for business or pleasure? And I'm just like, bro, take this fucking seriously. You're about to fucking die. There's a little person sweeping. I don't know why there is, but there's a little person there.
Sure.
And I'm like, cool, like that. I'm good. I'm a big
give
fan of
money.
Scene. Yeah, give him money. And he immediately fights the goons off in a pretty cool fight scene. And he bursts into the room and he meets Draco? Do you know Draco?
Mm-mm.
He's the father of Tracy. He's like sort of this dude with a mustache.
Oh, he appears a little bit. Yeah. But yeah, he's whatever.
This scene was pretty cool. I actually really dug how this scene was shot because it's just him sort of explaining his backstory, talking about like how he knew Tracy, Tracy's mom, his ex-wife, what happened to Tracy afterwards, all this stuff. And as you can, as I can tell from you, you're very bored by this.
No, I'm having a great time. What are you talking about? I'm literally just locked in.
The movie is bored by this too. So even though you could tell this scene was probably shot over the course of a couple hours, they are just fucking cutting. They're just like, we got to get to the action. What's with this fucking guy sob story about his fucking daughter? Who gives a shit? So he's like, what have I brought you here for, Mr. Bond? Why did I go through all the trouble? Well, Mr. Bond,
I expect you to die.
Here's the thing. No. Oh. So he's the husband. He's the dad of Tracy.
Yeah.
Right. And he loves her.
Yeah.
So he says, well, Mr. Bond,
what she needs is a man to dominate her, to make love to her enough to make her love him. A man like you.
And he offers to pay him £1 million so that he can do this to his daughter.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, man, I want you to be a misogynist.
I want
pig.
You to fuck my daughter so hard.
That she obeys
that
me.
That she obeys you and me in relation. Fucking crazy way to introduce this fucking guy.
Really learn a lot about him, though, pretty quickly.
Truly. And Bond's like, I can't marry her. I can't do all this stuff. Like, I've got a profession where it's not allowed. But he says, well, I know that you're looking for Blofeld, and I might be able to get information for you, and I can give it to you if you marry Tracy. And so Bond's like, all right, maybe I'll consider it. So Bond goes to MI6, and he cool as fuck one shot of him opening the door, the room that Miss Moneypenny is in, and he fucking throws his hat on the fucking hat rack. Fucking incredible shot.
Classic.
Good shit. And Miss Moneypenny is just like, ooh, hello. She says, same old Bond. And then he goes up and starts grinding on her. And
Whoa.
She goes, ooh, only more so, implying that his dick is bigger than the last James Bond.
Whoa.
Yeah. So M is like, hey, Bond, I am removing you from this operation to find Blofeld. You haven't gotten any results. You've been on this operation for months. We don't know what the fuck to do with you. And so Bond is like, fine. And so he leaves M's office and he goes to Moneypenny. He goes, Moneypenny, write a memo of resignation for me. I write a letter of resignation for me. I'm resigning.
Okay.
And Moneypenny's like,
$1 million for having a lady.
That's right. And so he's like, she's like, fine. So he goes to his office. There's a little quiet scene where he starts packing things away in mostly secret agent weapons and a flask. And then M's like, Mr. Bond, come into my office. So he goes into the office and M has approved his request.
Oh.
Yeah, without any fanfare, not a big deal. Yeah. And so he's like, man, I thought he would react a bit
Don't
more.
Worry, you're going to quit after this movie anyway. It's fine.
Yeah, it's a fair point. And then Moneypenny's like, well, didn't you read the resignation letter? And he goes, no. So he reads the resignation letter. Moneypenny didn't write a resignation letter. She wrote a letter requesting 2 weeks leave.
Oh.
So he's just taking 2 weeks off, basically.
Okay.
And he goes, what will I do? What would I do without you, Moneypenny? And then he leaves. And then M over the intercom goes, what would I ever do without you, Moneypenny? It's like, it's clear both men are like, don't really know how to communicate with each other, and only Moneypenny knows how to like maintain this relationship.
Yeah. By letting men grind on her.
Yes, exactly. Sadly.
Yeah.
Incredible shot of Tracy driving in a big, bright red car, and the camera moves to see her park her car, get out of her car, walk over to meet with her father. It's her father's birthday, and he's throwing his party at a bullfighting arena. And so this camera fucking like tracks and pans over and then lifts up, and we see her meet her dad just as this like bullfighting thing is happening. And it's so cool because it's like her communication with everyone is like a bull. She's like the bull, and James Bond is like the bullfighter dude who's like gotta like
Toro.
Yeah, Toro. Yeah, it's like, I don't know. It's like, this is the kind of shit I'm like, this I love. This is cool. You know, I feel like this is the thing that later Bond movies will employ.
It's,
you know,
nice to see this after Casino Royale.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to be like, oh, right. Okay, we can do something different with Bond. It's also just nice seeing a new take.
Yeah,
know?
I agree. It's
just
nice.
It's a refreshing thing where it's not just like, oh, what are you going to do now? Oh, we've got a jetpack now? Sure, whatever. It's
or just like, oh, this scene happens at like, well, okay, so where are we? Oh, let's put it at a place that's like culturally relevant to that place. It's
yeah.
No, like, let's do something with that. You know, how can the place that they're talking illuminate the relationship of characters? What they do. So immediately Tracy is suspicious of her dad after meeting with Bond. And so she gets the idea. She's like, I know what Bond wants. I know what my dad wants. So she forces her father to tell James Bond where Blofeld is. And so she immediately leaves. She's like, there's no reason for you to marry me anymore. There's no reason for any of this. Yeah. So she immediately leaves. And Bond follows. He goes, come on. I don't want those secrets. Like, those secrets are nice, but, you know, I do really like you. And then she turns around. She's crying. And then we have a montage of the two of them just spending time together, you know, like on a river, going shopping. And it's all set to a weird Louis Armstrong song.
Oh, that is weird.
It's very strange. Not what I expected.
It's nice to see Bond settle down.
He's bonding.
Yeah, he's bonding. Right, I'm on off the podcast. You know what? I'm tapping out. This is the last movie right now. I didn't want to finish our app.
We're done. Honestly, after these one-two punch of these movies. So James Bond goes to where he can get more information of Blofeld. It's a guy named Gumbold, who's like a lawyer in Switzerland. And he's got a connection to Blofeld. So he breaks into his office while he's like out on lunch, and there's a nearby construction happening near the building, and this crane lifts a giant safe cracker into the room that Bond is in.
Safe cracker,
like a giant thing that can crack safes.
Okay,
so it's like this big, like it's basically like the size of like a giant, like a big trunk, you know, like for okay. You know, and so it's just like lifted through the window via a construction crane that's across the street, goes into the window. Bond sets it up on this giant safe. And I'm like, oh, man, I remember this is just like that one scene in the one of the last ones we saw where remember he's like trying to like break crack a safe. It's the one that Roald Dahl wrote. And he's
trying
to crack a safe. And it's very like dramatic. And he's like, I have only so much time to do this. But rather
than live twice,
you only live twice. But rather than it being like dramatic and scary, it's actually super boring because he sort of sets up he sets it and forgets it. He like sets up the safe cracker and just sort of like sits back, and then he like pulls out a Playboy and just starts reading it.
Wow. Yeah. Might as well be pulling out his phone.
And it's just like, he's just
Playboys
waiting.
Are the phones of the back in the day.
I'm just looking at the articles.
I'm just reading the articles, babe. Of course there's titties everywhere, but that's the internet now. It's always got ads of titties everywhere.
So it's like 10, 15 minutes of him just like waiting for the safe to get cracked. And I'm just like, what a boring fucking, could you not do anything dramatic here? But they don't. So Tracy tells her dad that she's in love with James Bond, and her dad is very happy to hear that. Safe is cracked. Bond makes a bunch of copies of important documents, and he gets out. I just wrote, what a boring scene. Bond meets with M at M's house. So he goes to his house, and even though M took him off the case, Bond's like, oh, look what I got. It's a bunch of documents that I got about Blofeld. So basically what's been going on is Blofeld, who is now going by a different name, oh God!
You can call him Blofeld.
Blochimp. But we're gonna call him Blofeld. Okay. He's going by a different name.
I just call him Bald Guy.
Bald Guy. So Bald Guy, is going by a different name. He's trying to claim that he's actually a duke because he's got a lineage to these other people.
I knew so many of these people in fucking high school. It's also embarrassing. Bald.
Also bald, and they're still bald.
Still bald. Yeah, they didn't grow any hair back.
Oh,
sorry, hims didn't work.
In high school, they were bald.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. You know, that's the kind of fucking shit that happens to these people, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I see where you're going with this bald. Yeah, like skinheads.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't. I thought you meant just.
No, I was just saying. Just they're bald as well.
Oh, okay. Fair.
But they could also be skinheads. Who knows?
So Bond is like, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pose as a genealogist, as someone who can figure out this guy's...
Man, some wishes, I get it.
Yeah. A genealogist, exactly. Yeah. But if you make a wish, he's going to try to turn it around on you. He's like, I wish for $1 million, and then it all lands on top of you.
And you die. Exactly. Classic genie stuff.
Classic genie shit. And so he's like, we're going to pose as that, and then I'm going to be taken to Blofeld's castle, and I'm going to... You know, I'm going to get information on it.
That's crazy to be a genealogist. I feel like Ancestry.com and all that shit killed that, you know?
Not anymore. But before he goes off, when he's meeting with M, M is like putting his, he's like, he does that thing where like he takes dead bugs and he sets them up and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And James Bond sees him. He goes, oh, that's a really small bug.
That's kind of funny.
Just immediately starts shitting on the size of the bugs that he's collected.
Some shitty ass bugs, dude.
So James Bond goes to meet with the genealogist that he's going to pose as to get some more information. The genealogist is like, hey, I've actually found your coat of arms, Bond. And your coat of arms has the tagline. It says, the world's not enough. That's his family's crest, basically. So we learn a couple things. One, that the Blofelds were born without earlobes. So if somebody doesn't have earlobes, then that means that they were probably a Blofeld.
Okay.
And he says that they're being very cagey about trying to talk to us. So they're actually going to just collect us. We have to give a description as to what we look like, and they're going to arrive and pick me up. And so James Bond has to sort of go like, can you just fudge your description to kind of look a bit more like me?
Hmm.
Not like the last guy. And then they'll pick me up instead, and I'll pose as you, and I'll be taken there. Yeah. All right? So this woman named Irma Bunt shows up and picks Bond.
Oh, is that Irma Bunt?
Irma Bunt. That's not what her accent is. She's like German or something, I think.
That seemed like Irma Bunt.
Irma Bunt finds Bond, picks him up, and he's dressed like the dude from the university. He's putting on a voice. And Bond is followed by someone who ensures safety. But in order to get to where Blofeld's institute is, the place that he actually lives, they need to get into a helicopter and go to the Alps. So yeah. There's no way for him to be followed. He's completely on his own.
Mm-hmm.
So Irma Bunt says, this is Blofeld's or Blokamp's Institute of Allergy Research. You see, he is a specialist in the field, and it is a nonprofit institute. We are just...
I guess if you want to research allergies, the Alps would be good because everything's dead there because it's so fucking cold.
Seems like it. Yeah. But it's a weird thing, right? Like an allergy research place. Yeah, that seems very strange. I guess
people research
it,
sure.
Sure, but it's a weird thing for, because like, obviously Blofeld's a bad guy. So like, what is his end game here? Like, why does he want to research? Why is he posing as a research guy looking into allergies? Right?
Yeah,
I don't know. Chemical companies have spies looking into the research, so they have to be super careful about who they bring up here.
Mm-hmm.
Bond is shown into his room a button. He has to press a button in order for someone to attend him, but he also has to press the same button for someone to come and open the door for him because the door is locked from the outside. Mm, he can't leave the room without someone opening the door for him.
So reminds me of that weird little young adult show that we watched on Hulu. It was like murder. Someone got murdered on like in the ice.
Oh,
place.
Murder at the End of the World.
Murder at the End of the World.
That movie,
yeah.
Their show sucked.
Yeah.
It was a bad show.
Yeah, it was not great.
But yes, it does remind me of that
but
too.
It was not good.
I finished it. It was fucking awful.
Okay.
Bad. Everyone, bad. Don't watch it. She invites him into the Alpine room for dinner. And he looks into his room for like some spy equipment. He doesn't find anything. So he shows up in the Alpine room wearing a Scottish kilt, which again, I feel like is kind of. So again, it was just like, what the fuck? Didn't we just fucking leave a movie with a bunch of Scots?
Yeah. Seeing him with a Scottish kilt was a little PTSD triggering,
yeah,
I gotta
bit.
Say, because I was just like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
This isn't Sean Connery.
Exactly. It's like, this isn't Sean Connery, and this isn't the last fucking movie that a bunch of Scots run around.
We're also in the Alps, which is in Switzerland, which has nothing to do with, I don't think it has anything to do with kilts, but maybe I'm wrong.
No, but I think he's, as posing as a genealogist, he might be saying that in his past, he might have had some kind of like Scottish ancestry.
You must
ancestry.
Embrace your ancestry, yeah. So I'm gonna wear kilt. Okay.
So he goes in and he meets a bunch of young ladies. And I wrote down, they all seem very bored and very dumb. They aren't allowed to give their surnames. It is a rule of the clinic, but all these women are bored, dumb, and incredibly fucking horny for a man.
A man is here.
So James Bond. And so everyone, they're just like.
Who isn't a Blofeld?
Blofeld's a baldy.
Oh, unfuckable.
Unfuckable.
Absolutely.
Have you seen this guy? It's not just that he's bald. There's some hot bald
guys. I honestly thought he was a like the bad guy from You Only Live Twice, and he escaped, and he came up to this mountain. I thought he was the same guy.
Is he not?
I don't think he is. Is he?
Because he's met James Bond, so he can't be, right?
I don't think so.
I think he's the same name, though, because Blofeld's a name I've heard before.
I'll look it up.
Anyway.
Wrong.
Because he's bald, and he also has a cat.
Yeah, he has a cat. That's the part that I'm like, is he not the same guy? I don't know, I'll look it up right now.
Maybe it's like a prequel?
I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway, so, well, wait. Before you look into that, there's some very important, awful stuff I need to tell you about. Real
oh,
quick.
Boy. I'm so excited.
They're like, it's feeding time. So they bring food out for all the women to eat. And in order to show.
Okay.
In order to show James Bond that these women are no longer allergic to the things that they ate, they're only fed the dishes that they were originally allergic to. So this woman's like, oh, I was allergic to potatoes. And her like. You know, her plate is covered in like potatoes and like mashed potatoes and French fries. And this one woman's like, oh, I was allergic to like, you know, asparagus. And it's like asparagus on her plate.
Oh, it is Leader Spectre. But, you know, here's the thing. He looked
different. He's a play by different actor.
Yeah, but You Only Live Twice. He had a big fucking scar in his eye.
This guy doesn't.
Yeah. And they're just like, no.
So maybe this is the prequel to that one, right?
Maybe so.
Maybe he gets the scar at the end of this movie.
No,
like
I think
doesn't.
He does.
Yeah.
No.
So all these women have food in front of them. I didn't mention this before, but all the women are like different, like multicultural, like they're all from different parts of the world. Okay?
All different allergies. Got to get a wide, diverse set.
So They also have a Asian woman, and she's eating rice.
That's crazy.
And they have a black woman.
Oh no, 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 no.
What do you think she's eating? I'm gonna actually save you because I don't want you to guess. She's eating a banana.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad too.
I wrote that. Oh, I see what you were thinking.
You fucking started off with an Asian woman eating rice. You're like fucking set me up for a trap here.
I see what you
and a white
thinking.
Woman was eating mayonnaise. Yeah, like, what are you doing here?
Yeah. Well, there was a white woman eating potatoes. So she's probably like Irish, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, makes sense.
I just wrote down, Jesus fucking Christ. Like, I liked this movie up until now. And I'm like, I don't know. I did like the part where he slapped a lady, but I liked pretty much everything else. And then this happened.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So a lady sitting next to him, like, leans over and starts to write something on the inside of his thigh because he's wearing the kilt. Mm-hmm. She can easily have access to his thigh. Bond is brought essentially into like the Bat Cave. That's what it looks like. It's the laboratory, and he meets Blofeld. And Blofeld immediately mentions the earlobes. He says that he must be the Count because he has no earlobes.
Okay.
James Bond is like, well, I want you to join me as I look into your ancestry. We're going to go to the final resting place of your ancestry. We have to learn way more than you might be able to provide just by papers, right?
Yeah.
And Blofeld's like, ah, doesn't seem really necessary or something we can do right now.
Hmm.
But maybe in the future. So Bond goes back to his room and he looks on the inside of his thigh, and the number 8 is written on the inside of his thigh.
Okay.
And that is the room that the lady is in. Mm-hmm. So that night he uses a special gadget to open his door without having to like have someone do it from the outside. Cool. And he's able to walk around freely. He goes straight to roommate and he goes to the lady. Her name is Ruby Bartlett. He says to call him Hilly rather than his actual name that he's going by right now, which is Hillary, I think. And they fuck.
Dr. Hillary.
Yeah, and they
Sir
fuck.
Hillary.
Right. And they fuck and they talk. And then she talks a bit about like her growing up, and she was really allergic to chickens, but she grew up on a chicken farm, and then she came here, and now she feels a lot better. And then in the middle of all their discussion, weird noise and lights start happening, and she says it's all part of the cure that's curing her, and it's essentially like brainwashing, okay. Which is a scene that you're coming
in. So this is very weird to walk into, because I see these lights going off, and I hear, I've taught you to love chickens. Your cure is nearly done. Soon you will go home to look after the chickens. And I'm like, what is this film? Am I still watching a parody? Because this is so goofy.
I didn't even think about that. But yeah, it does sound like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, Bond starts shaking her and goes, Ruby, wake up.
Were you? Okay. How did you adjust to this new Bond?
I was like, obviously that's Bond because he's in a secret base and we're following him.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, you know, I don't know. He just seems like kind of like soft Bond. You know?
Right, soft Bond.
Soft Bond. He's got his little edges worn off of him. So he's walking around in a kilt, and I'm like, what is going on? Why is he walking in a kilt?
Yeah, he got to see him in a kilt.
Let's see. And he goes, sees a lady. He finds someone called Hilly? No, he's Hilly. Yeah.
Is it Ruby?
No, it's someone else. He starts meeting them and they talk for a while. It doesn't really go anywhere. But then there's this cut of this blonde guy. He's trying to get up the top of a mountain.
That's the guy that was following him to make sure he was okay. I think he works for Tracy's family.
Okay. Yeah. Well, he tries to get up, but this guy's like, it's forbidden. You cannot go up here. Mm-hmm. And he's not allowed to go up. He's like, fuck, all right. Bond's
What's
going up
this
there.
Guy's movie? I want to see this guy's movie, right?
This doesn't last very long.
Oh, no, he dies.
So Sir Hillary's here. All the white ladies like, it's Sir Hillary. We love you. We're playing curling up on the top of the roof here.
So you knew this guy was James Bond. You didn't suspect he was Sir Hillary ever.
I didn't expect he was Sir Hillary. And they say, Sir Hillary, your stiffness, is it all gone from last night? He's like, oh, I'm feeling much better now.
They're talking about
his
dick.
Yeah, very stiffy.
Yeah.
She says, we're leaving soon. We must see you. We must see you one last time. The blonde guy's still trying to climb. He's just straight up climbing up the mountain. And Bond talks to the bald guy. He's like, how's your research going? Or the bald guy says, how's your research going? He's like, oh, it's going well. I'm making some progress here. And then the blonde guy gets caught and they start shooting at him. And he's like, hey, who's this blonde guy? Says, what's his name? Roblert? The bald
Blofeld?
Guy. Blofeld, yeah.
Robert?
I don't know. I wrote bald guy because he didn't ever mention his name.
Oh, okay. Blofeld, yeah.
Blofeld. They're like, hey,
Rope alert.
You're not allowed to come up here. We're going to take all your stuff and we're going to send it back down. And he's like, you're going to send me back down? He's like, you're going to have to go back down. I'm like, damn it, I want to come up here though. It's a free country. The authorities will hear about this. And then he says like, oh, Bunt says, oh, instead of curling for today, ladies, let's go back inside. And all the ladies keep talking to him. They're like, to James Bond, they're like, oh, I'll meet you at 8. He's like, yeah, I'll meet you at 8. And then another person comes up, like, are you free tonight? He's like, yeah, meet me at 9. clearly trying to pick up everyone.
That's so fucking sketchy.
I know. And then late at night, Hilly goes and tries to go meet up with Ruby again, but he wakes her up. And it's Bunt in the bed. And then he gets knocked out.
Oh, shit.
And then he wakes up.
He gets bunted.
He wakes up to Blofeld saying, Merry Christmas, 007.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
No, none of these professionals would try to seduce women on duty. Come on now.
Yeah.
Too easy. Also, you're up here alone. No one will come to your aid. And the info I hold will be able to destroy the whole economy. So I'm going to explain the entire thing to you.
Of course.
Remember
that
outbreak of foot and mouth disease? Well, you know, we're trying to do an allergy vaccine, but like, listen, we got something else. Bond's like, oh, you're doing bacterial warfare.
That's what the last guy did.
Yeah, but he's like, no, kind of. But we made a new thing.
This is going to turn all women beautiful and kill everyone that's shorter than me.
No, what it does is it makes specific species of things infertile. So one at a time, I'm going to distribute this with my angels of death, which are the girls he's been brainwashing.
Right.
But he's like, how? He's like, that's my actual secret. But as people do not meet my demands, I'm going to destroy one species of anything, plant or animal, by making them infertile.
Ooh.
So they can no longer reproduce. Ooh. And that'll be my blackmail. And he's like, even humans at some point? He's like, I don't think it'll come to that. But,
I think I'm going to get paid before
It might.
What would be the first thing you'd make infertile?
Oh, mosquitoes, obviously. That's a world good, though. Like, no one's going to... That's a bad, like...
Yeah.
We're going to hold the world, and we're going to make it mosquitoes
infernal.
Any kind
of insect, yeah.
And he's just like... Mm.
Like bed bugs would be another big one.
Bed bugs probably could be eradicated, and it wouldn't be... No one would really be
Nobody
upset.
Everyone would be Fleas. Happier. Fleas. Billionaires.
It's billionaires, yeah. Classic. Yeah, you get over a certain threshold, you don't shoot anymore. Shooting blanks out of there.
Hell yeah.
Anyway, I'll keep you here as a guest, Bond. And Bond tries. They show him the British guy. He's all hung up and dead.
Which British guy?
The blonde guy. The blonde British guy who tried to climb the mountain. He got killed. And like, yes, we'll leave him up here as a waxworks show for morbid tourists. It'll be great. Bond tries to break free of the guards. And he gets beat up. And he's like, you must absolutely be calm before we introduce you back to polite society. So they lock him in like the ski lift kind of like operating chamber with a bunch of big gears and stuff. So the Angels of Death, the girls, get a bunch of presents. And Boot says, oh, you could open up one at a time, but it's best if we open them up all at once. And he says, it's so nice to be able to cure you. And then all the girls fall asleep because they drank some sleepy wine or something. And then they
My
all get
kind.
Simultaneously brainwashed.
Oh.
For different things. But in the meantime, Bond's trapped in the ski lift area. He's trying to use these gears to escape. He tears out his pockets to grab this giant cable wire, the one to bring the ski lift gondola up.
Okay.
He tries to sneak to the other side, but it turns back and forth. And he has to do all his timing, little gimmick thing where he's trying not to get crushed. Honestly, it's pretty fun. I'm entertained by this. He tries again. He does make it back. He slides and shimmies outside, but almost crushes his fingers because he tries to get on the top gondola line. But all the girls are coming back, or maybe it's just guards. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
And they're going to crush his fingers, but he actually jumps off and catches a ride on the gondola. And he sneaks back under the base and... like sneaks in and sees all the girls being brainwashed. They all become fully brainwashed and they're told to open their presents. It's like fun little perfumes and things like that.
Aww.
But they say, don't touch anything but the atomizer. You must never touch it until I tell you how and when to use it.
Yeah.
This is Blofeld saying this.
Sure.
Every night at midnight, you must be alone to turn on the receiver to hear my voice and hear the instructions.
Okay, got it.
Which seems like a fucking awful thing to be like, I'm cured. Okay, every night at midnight, you have to stay up and you have to...
That's like taking any kind of medication, though.
You have to stay up. A medication you just take and you go to bed. You know?
Yeah.
Like, is there anything where it's like...
But do they have to stay up or can they just turn it on?
At midnight, they have to stay up, turn on the thing. And listen for any instructions.
Okay,
it's not like a medication. You take. You don't have to like listen and process things and do stuff. You know,
to turn on a radio and then listen to an outgoing message in order to like not have depression the next day.
Some days it feels like that though. So Bond goes down an elevator, beats up a dude, says Merry Christmas, leaves him in a closet.
What is up with this Christmas thing? Is it just because it's snowy?
It's Christmas time.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Duh. Why would they be saying it otherwise?
I don't know. I just thought it was a weird thing that they were doing.
It's snowy. It's Christmas. Yeah.
So this is a Christmas movie. Mm-hmm.
He sees all the girls go down the gondola. He's like, fuck, they're all gone. They're all going to run around with their you know, poison thing and make things infertile or whatever. Mm-hmm. So Bond, of course, gets some skis and jumps off fast forward style off the ski lift and then skis away while the bad guys see him skiing away, see him escape, and they start shooting at him. And the bald guy puts down his cat, which is the reason I was like, oh,
Rob Lert.
I was like, oh shit, it might be that guy.
Yeah.
Looks different though. Puts down his cat, puts on a ski mask, and runs down, and they all just.
I hate wearing the ski mask. I hope it doesn't distort my face at all.
I know. You have this terrible ski chase where they're all clearly
on green screens.
Yep.
Yeah.
Doing stunts one person at a time. The green screen. Some of it looks good. Some of it looks bad. I would say about 40% of it looks good. The rest of it looks bad.
You said 20% earlier. You're being a lot nicer now.
I'm thinking about it again.
Okay. You reevaluate.
30%. We'll go with that.
Okay.
Bad guy shoots up a flare to see where Bond is. They all ski down and try to get him because they see him. There's some cool stunts. He loses a ski and skis on one ski for a while. Bond does.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
One guy hits a tree. He dies, obviously. Bond whacks a guy off a cliff who falls for what feels like 15
whacks
seconds.
A guy off?
He whacks a guy off and then he throws him off a cliff.
Oh, nice.
So gives
at least
a happy,
he died happy.
A happy
yeah.
ending, yeah.
Yeah.
which is like a 10-second long scene of him falling. Show how
be
far
the
it is.
Greatest, like James Bond thing. Just a James Bond. It's like.
It's a little homoerotic.
It's like a fully.
A little sexy there.
I love this idea.
Love my before dick shaken, like, not stirred.
Yeah. Oh, that's really good. That's really good. It's like 007, but the 7's in between the two O's, so it looks like a dick.
What a 0069. So eventually he punches a dude out, chokes off a guy at the ski, and throws him off a cliff. Honestly, pretty scary looking.
Mm.
Steals that guy's skis because he lost one. The girls are heading out in a bus. Bond arrives at a village. And fights in like a little bell barn, which I imagine is the barn where they put like all the bells on the cows. So much noise.
Sure,
no one cares
sure.
though. He punches a bunch of dudes. They get buried in the bells. He changes clothes. And
does
heads.
It sound cool?
It is. Honestly, this part's okay. Because it's like ding dong, ding dong, ding dong.
This
ding
movie
dong.
Does a similar thing with every fight scene where they add like interesting like sound effects to it. Like in previous ones, like if they fight in a location that's like really echoey, they'll add like echoing sounds to all the fights and stuff like that. It's interesting.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
So he changes clothes, heads into like an ice skating competition area where it's like a big crowd in this kind of like the city. I think it's Zurich or something.
Mm.
Slows down running, but he's still running from Bunt and kind of everyone else. Then it was the weirdest editing where Bond gets scared by like a man in like a bear suit, like a Coca-Cola polar bear suit.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, ah! And then he has like kind of like a panic attack before some lady appears. I don't know. And she's like, James. See,
oh, it's Tracy.
It's Tracy. She's like, oh, you're
so
here.
So the Coca-Cola bear.
What are you doing here? I thought Tracy was one of the girls that were brainwashed.
Yeah.
I had no idea, but I guess she had a whole thing.
She's the Contessa.
She's
going to be the one that he marries.
Yeah. And then, oh, thank you. Mike gave me his little phone stand.
So like, phone stand.
This is nice.
Isn't
this
it nice? It's a little phone nice. Stand that like I got.
So he says, can you give me a car? And she says, yeah. And then they escape. And there's a ton of fireworks going off. And they actually were able to kind of evade everyone.
Mm.
They go to the nearest post office where there's a phone outside. And he goes and makes a phone call to try to get to the outside to tell everyone what's going on. Mm-hmm. But before he makes a real connection with that phone call.
You can't make a connection with these. You know, it's just a one-use type thing.
It's a one-use type thing.
Yeah.
He gets shot at by Groot. Groot springs by and starts shooting.
Groot?
Groot. Is it? Oh, it's Bunt. I thought Groot for some reason. I started thinking she's the name of the. I started thinking Bunt Cake.
Oh.
Right? Like Bunt Cake.
Like a
Bunt then
cake.
I started thinking about Brute the Champagne.
Oh, okay. That makes
and
sense.
And for some reason, I kept writing Brute.
Right.
Anyway.
Brute and Rodrol.
I don't remember. This is a sweet one or something, right? The Brut's the sweet one. I don't know. I only remember that New Year's when I have to buy a can of champagne.
Yep. That's the only time I think about it.
Yep. And then they drive off. Eventually, they drive through a huge crowd to try to discourage Brut from following them in her car.
That's not her
Bunt,
name.
Bunt. From Collins. Yes, you're right. So they go into a racetrack. They get into a fucking race.
Whoa.
And Tracy's driving, and she's driving around like crazy. They're all trying to chase her.
Like in Formula One?
I mean, maybe back in the day it was Formula One. They're pretty old looking cars, so yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. You're going to race, though.
But of course, Bond says, like, looks like we've hit rush hour.
God damn it, Bond. Not Bond, right now.
Bond's like, what the fuck? And they start driving around. They start knocking race cars off the track. They're like, how do we get out? Some other cars are driving. These other racers are still going while, like, Bunt and her, like, other car are shooting at them with a gun. And eventually, Bunt's car flips over and it explodes. But she and all her goonies run out. And they go, when it explodes, she goes, but she seems alive. She's just kind of running away.
She's embarrassed.
She's embarrassed, yeah. So Tracy and Bond drive into a blizzard. They find a barn and they hide in it.
They gotta keep warm somehow.
Yeah. And then she puts down her hair. And then, you know, that old school thing where they're like, we gotta make women look more glamorous.
They put the Vaseline on the
lens. On her, and I'm like, oh, it's time for a fucking.
Oh yeah.
And she's all sexy and stuff. But they don't want to smash. She's like, no, it's okay. It's okay.
It probably does smell like shit in there.
Let's sleep together. And he's like, Tracy, an agent shouldn't be concerned with anyone but himself, but like, I can't get you out of my mind.
Ooh. She's going to die.
What are you talking about? He's like, I love you, and I know I'll never find a girl like you. Will you marry me?
Wow.
She's like, for real? He's like, yeah, Mr. and Mrs. James Bond. And they're trying to, she's like, yeah, I'll do it. And she's trying to decide whether to get married, and they make a joke about like, oh, we could go here, we could go there. What about this barn? Are they taking it? Hey, this barn's probably pretty cheap. And then she's like totally down to smash, but he's like, no, I'm saving it for my wedding night.
Fucking shit.
That's my New Year's resolution. So she sleeps in a separate like bed that's kind of above him and like kind of like a, I don't know, it looks like a manger. But like it's obviously like an adult size manger.
Well, this is Christmas.
It is Christmas.
Yeah.
And then she gets to the bed and she goes to sleep, and then he gets a little thing and yanks it down and she falls on him and she says, he says, it's not New Year's yet. And then they start doing it. But then evil guys break into the barn.
Oh no.
But our heroes are too ahead of this. They're already skiing down the slopes.
Whoa. I thought they were fucking.
Well, this is the next day.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. I skipped some time.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
So they're skiing down the slopes. They're being chased. They ride down the slopes enough. They see a snowplow, which they jump over, but one bad guy falls in from the snowplow and gets ground up into little
hell
chunks.
Yeah.
Turns red, and Bond turns around and says, he had a lot of guts.
Oh my God, Bond, enough. Enough of this.
Okay.
No, don't say shit like that, because it sounds like he's no support.
So there's a sign that says, keep silent in this area. And the main evil guy.
Oh, because of the
avalanche. Avalanche. Yeah. Shoots off a loud noise and causes an avalanche. And the avalanche looks crazy, but also looks shitty at the same time. So they start trying to ski away from the avalanche, and they head for the trees. One guy, his model, gets swept up underneath. It's clearly not a person. It's clearly a model. Gets swept up underneath the avalanche.
Hey, a model's a person.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right.
Come on, man.
I'll apologize to Tyra Banks. I'm sorry. Tracy falls, and James is like, Tracy, cling to me! And it's just a bunch of them rolling around. And the evil guy has such a cute little smile watching all this. He's like, this is going exactly my plan. And then they say, it seems like a grave deep enough that I think even 007 can walk away from it. They say, scoop up the girl. And they scoop up the girl, Tracy. I guess she's not dead. And they ski away with her. And it looks so funny because her body's just like limp and they're just skiing. And I'm like, there's no way to make skiing look that cool when you're dragging your body behind it.
No way.
Bond is looking out a window.
There's no way to look have skiing look cool, period.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Bond is looking out a window and he sees a reflection of Tracy getting stolen in the reflection. He's in M's office. And they say like, oh, Blofeld wants amnesty as his price for Tracy, so we're not going to do that. But he wants a decision by midnight. And Bond's like, why are we giving in to him? Like, I could just go fucking destroy the Institute with the virus in it. He's like, nope, I'm making the decision. You're gonna have to live with it.
God damn it, M.
He's like, but all those girls, he's like, we could figure it out. We could destroy the center, the communications would fix it. And he says, I have my orders. Don't do it, Mr. Bond.
But
so Bond, next scene, literally calls up someone named Draco and says, I have an aerial demolition job for you that requires some certain aerial activity.
Okay, Potter.
Yeah, exactly. And then Tracy's talking to Blofeld in his little mansion thing, his little secret base. And,
right.
And basically,
petting his pussy.
It made it seem like she was working with him the whole time.
Who?
But
Blofeld, Tracy.
Blofeld, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, she's like, he's like, I'll make you rich. And she's like, yeah, but at what cost?
Oh.
And they're like, did they get a report that 3 helicopters are on their way? And Blofeld's like, Tracy, I can make you my countess. But if you displease me and be a very different estate, you better please me. But anyway, they keep talking about these helicopters coming in the area. And they contact the helicopters and they're like, we're the Red Cross flying supplies to Italy when it's clearly Bond and a bunch of people going to fucking take them down. Mm. This is a mercy flight. And Blofeld, for some reason, is like, you see, it's nothing. There's no issue here. And I'm like, I don't think that's what he would do.
Yeah.
He seems very uncharacteristic. He'd be like, shoot him down. I don't care.
Kill him.
It's just like, everyone here is just like not as evil as they should be,
yeah,
in my opinion. Like,
I
feel like they amped up the evilness in the last couple Bond movies,
yeah,
of how evil Spectre is. And like, he would just like,
he's the head of Spectre.
He literally would shock someone in an electric chair, bring him back down, and then like empty up the chair, you know?
Or he'd get someone else to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's now like, oh, there's 3 helicopters that are very suspiciously close to my base when everything's about to go my way.
Mm.
Guess it's probably the Red Cross.
I don't know
like
what
they
to
say
do.
It is.
Yeah.
So anyway, Tracy knows obviously this is a fucking trap.
Yeah.
So she says, oh, I'm going to talk about Blofeld's proposition and I'm going to try to like learn more about it.
Right.
And he's like going to try to kiss her, but she's like, no, tell me more in the other room, please.
Mm.
And then suddenly they're under attack by helicopters. I couldn't see that coming.
Whoa.
And the helicopters, I love this in Bond movies and just movies in general, is their favorite way to attack is not just shooting guns, but throwing grenades, because grenades are easy to like fake.
Yeah, yeah.
You just
had
explosions
just
going.
Throw something
and then cut. There's a scene of something exploding.
Yeah.
And they assault the fortress.
Also, it's also really great to throw something from a helicopter that can immediately like change the wind around the blades.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Drop shrapnel at you.
Yeah, exactly.
Tracy fights off 2 dudes.
Whoa.
It's pretty cool. After
job,
the bad
Tracy.
Guy demands to fight them. And then Bond, they land on the helipad and the real James Bond theme kicks off. And honestly, this shit fucking whips. It's so fucking cool. They land on the Bond. They land on this place. It's all snowy. It's a secret base. This girl's like fighting with this guy, having a real struggle with him, and eventually she throws him down the stairs and he lands, and then he gets back up and she puts him onto some spikes. And then we suddenly cut to Bond and he's just fucking sliding on the ground, stomach first, with a machine gun.
Whoa.
Shooting dudes like a seal. It looks so fucking funny.
Like a seal? Yeah, so many references to the last movie, you know?
Like a seal?
Yeah, remember there were seals at the end of the last movie.
My last movie was a fever dream. I already threw that out of my brain.
I'll never forget.
He says, get Tracy to safety. We're going to start blowing stuff up here, and then they invade. They start setting bombs everywhere in this facility. Some dude is a flamethrower and burns some guy. Some scientists throw like an acid concoction that melts something near Bond. Bond just shoots him. Bond takes pictures of where all the agents are, all the girls are. But the bad guy comes, the bald guy comes and shoots at him. They set the bomb for 5 minutes to explode, and the guys on the team are like, well, that give us enough, the Englishmen enough time to get out. And I think Draco says he knows the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And Tracy's getting taken to the helicopter. Like, where's James? And he's like, don't worry about it. He doesn't need your help. He knows the timetable. She's like, I gotta help him. And he's like, no. And he just punches her out.
Whoa.
And brings on the helicopter.
I'm this like, woman has been slapped and punched.
She got knocked the fuck
Jesus
out.
Jesus Christ.
But for the best in this situation.
For the best?
For this situation.
Wow. Somebody cancel Ethan. Ethan's like, you know what? It was better.
Literally,
it's good that you hit
they
this
fly
woman.
Away, and then the whole base explodes. So she went in there, she would have been dead.
No. I think women should be allowed to die.
Yeah, you support women's rights and women's deaths.
Exactly.
I get it. Sure.
Exactly.
Okay.
I don't support hitting women in any case.
Okay.
All right? That's just my opinion. You
any
know?
Case.
Yeah.
Any case.
Any situation.
Any
I don't
case.
Think you should hit a woman.
God.
You know?
Okay. Even if
Ethan, though.
Even if they have a gun to your head and you're like,
no, I'm just asking him nicely, you know?
Got it.
Validate their feelings.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah. It's very valid. You want to kill me right now.
You want to kill me right now. I understand where you're coming from.
I understand where you're coming from. Yeah. I'm very supportive. I know all the things you go through.
Look, I'm sorry if I upset you.
I didn't mean to. I apologize deeply. Do not shoot me.
Don't shoot me.
So the whole...
Bam! Evil...
Mike made a hitting motion, so...
It's toward the gun, not toward the person.
Oh, yes, of course, of course.
Unless the gun's a lady, then I'm not going to hurt the gun. If the gun's a lady, then I'm not going to hurt it.
It's true. Yeah. Real feminine lady. Yes. Yeah. So the whole evil base explodes. Evil guy runs away, though. He gets across a snow bridge. Bond is on his ass following him. Trying to chase him down.
I thought you meant he was literally on his ass.
No, not yet.
He's sliding down.
That'd be amazing. No, the evil guy takes a toboggan down and invades Bond. Bond gets in his own toboggan and they start sliding down.
Tobongden?
Toboggan? Toboggan? Toboggan. That's how you say it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Toboggan.
Oh, I see. You're making a joke. I thought it was just me pronouncing something.
No, he's
wrong.
Pronouncing it properly. Okay. Yeah.
They're chasing each other. Honestly, the scene would be really cool if it wasn't so green screen. Like, it's just so heavily green screen.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
man,
yeah.
This looks bad. The evil guy pulls out a grenade, and he drops it on himself, and you're like, oh, shit, he's going to blow himself up. And he throws it right under James Bond's toboggan, which blows him up, sends him off the track, and he looks around, grabs back onto the bad guy's toboggan, and they start fighting on his toboggan.
What the fuck?
He rolls, and like, I guess the way the track works, I don't know.
Sure.
I don't know.
I've seen cool runnings.
I don't know how this thing is staying on the tracks without a driver.
Yeah.
And like, they're punching each other, and I'm like, this thing is going wacky. Bond almost gets knocked off multiple times. Bond eventually kicks him off the toboggan into a tree branch, and he dies.
Whoa.
The tree branch is above
the
toboggan.
Does he die, or does
he
just get a really bad cut on his face?
I think he might have got a really bad cut on his face, actually. But Bond says, looks like he branched out.
Oh, my God. All right. That's a branch too far.
Yeah. Try to extend
a limb too far, yeah. An olive branch?
An olive branch. Yeah. But didn't
no,
have.
No.
So Bond,
let's leave that alone.
You're barking up the wrong tree, Mike. Put your root somewhere else.
Stick it. All right, next.
Put it back in the trunk.
Yeah, all right.
Bond loses control, flies off, and immediately St. Bernard finds him. And he just goes,
with the whiskey?
Well, he says, never mind that. Give me the brandy. 5-star Hennessy, of course.
Hell yeah. All right, that's pretty cool.
It's a cute dog.
Yeah.
Tracy and Bond get married. People toast to them. Wow. Money Penny's there. She looks fucking sad.
I bet.
People dance, they celebrate, they got the fancy car, he's got the Aston Martin. M is like, you're so irresponsible, James Bond, but I can't complain. If there's anything you need, come talk to me.
He's his best man.
Yes.
Yeah.
So then Tracy's husband comes. Not husband.
Husband?
I mean, that seems
wrong.
Tracy's dad comes and says, hey, remember to obey your husband in all things. And she's like, of course I will, Dad, just like I obeyed you.
Ooh.
And then Dad tries to give Bond a bunch of money in his pocket, and Bond gives it back, and he says, I don't need this, you fucker.
I've been drinking. I don't need your fucking money.
Shove it in your pants.
You know what?
Dickhead Dad.
I'm James fucking Bond.
You richy rich asshole. I'm 007-911 your daughter for who she is. And he's about ready to get in the car. He waves goodbye to Moneypenny, and then he tosses her his hat.
That.
Honestly, love that part.
That's pretty great. I like that a lot.
And she
starts. Is that the end of the movie?
You'd think so.
Wait, really? There's more?
There's more. And then 007, after he see M sees that he threw the hat to Moneypenny, and then M says 007 never had any respect for government property. Which is fucked up but kind of funny.
That's fucked up.
So they drive off newly married with a bunch of flowers on their car. They have all the time in the world and they're just like, oh yeah. Man, then they drive next to a cliff and I'm like, oh, this is not great. So Bond stops by the cliff, he takes off some flowers from the car, and you know,
no.
Tracy's there and she starts picking the flowers. She's like, oh, it's such a good, I love our life, Bond. I can't wait for our next chapter to begin. Like, just the most obvious foreshadowing.
I can't wait to live a long,
and like,
happy
I'm like, this
life.
Movie's so, like, clearly this is an older movie, so I
you
I
were
see,
just like,
I,
who knows?
Well, I'm like, the time code is so close to the end. I'm like, there's gotta be credits, right? But it's like, no, it's an old movie. They did all the credits beforehand.
Sure.
So, oh no, Bunt and Evil Guy are here, and they do a fucking drive-by and shoot everyone, and they kill Tracy.
Oh no.
And Vaughn gets in the driver's seat, and he's like, oh no. And then immediately, almost comically, a cop drives up in like a motorcycle and looks in the window, and Bond is like holding her body, and he just goes, it's all right. It's quite all right. She's just having a rest. Oh. There's no hurry, you see. We have all the time in the world.
Ooh.
And he just starts crying. And then it ends with an Eon production over the bullet hole where she was shot.
Whoa.
And it's like really sad. And they take a moment to pause. And it goes.
Dudruck!
And I'm like, what a fucking mood killer.
Holy shit, dog.
Like, you're like trying to sit here in this sad moment where his wife gets killed.
Yeah. His and then newly just, like, buried wife that he truly loved is dead. See, so I think you're right. I think he does have unfinished business with Blofeld when they fucked his face up, you know? So
you might be right.
It's supposed to be a prequel.
It must be a prequel. Yeah. I tried looking up on the Wikipedia. It wasn't very clear. Mm. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, because they did want to make this beforehand. Remember, this was the one they wanted to make beforehand, then they skipped it.
Because the Secret Service, it was in a place that was like cold, and so they couldn't shoot it.
Yeah, it was like they're trying to scout it out, and it's like, if you're going to a place, you got to go that. You got to go to the Alps, baby.
That's right.
You
know, that's right. That explains it.
This is an interesting one.
I liked it. I liked it more than I was expecting.
I did too.
Yeah, I think I like this more than most of the other ones.
Yeah, I kind of did too, which was weird.
I looked it up, and apparently nobody likes this fucking movie. This is the weakest of all of them.
The thing is, there's just some. It doesn't feel like Bond, right? Like,
because it's not Sean Connery.
It's not Sean Connery, but I don't think he's like a great Bond. Yeah. In my opinion, he's just fine. He feels like a stand-in. He just really feels like. We're settling.
Yeah.
You know, like, I feel like there's something better out there.
Yeah.
There's something way better, more interesting.
Hopefully one just around the corner.
One around the corner. Well, it must be because I don't think this guy.
Well, hopefully it's a better Bond. We don't know if it's a better Bond.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a better Bond at all, but I mean, this is his only movie.
So now that we're on our second Bond, we, one, need to be like rating each one by bullet holes, but we should also probably start comparing Bonds. And I think we can easily say this is second place Bond.
Well, right. are we counting old James Bond?
Yeah.
Old man James Bond?
We have old man James Bond, and we have Peter Sellers. And
we're not going to count all the goofy ones.
And we have the Native American that had 007 on his forehead.
No. We're not going to count all the ones in Casino Royale, because that's ridiculous. All
right, can we at least count Peter Sellers?
No, we would count the old man James Bond.
Okay, old man James Bond. So old man James Bond.
Final count, Peter Sellers.
Thank God. All right, so Peter Sellers at the very bottom.
Yeah, you just want to put him at the bottom.
Yeah, I just want to put him at the bottom. I just love imagining a list of James Bond, like all the James Bond listed, and you show it to someone who's like a big fan of James Bond. They're like, why'd you put Peter Sellers on there?
Who's that? I think old man James Bond's after that. Mm. I think George.
You want to put old man James Bond below this James Bond.
Yeah, because he's so goofy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this one, like, as much as he said, like, quippy lines, and he didn't have that kind of, like...
Je ne sais quoi.
He didn't have that edge to him that I felt like you needed. He still had, like, a lot of heart and a lot of depth that I felt like the other James Bond didn't have.
Definitely. He brought a humanity.
I mean, he clearly showed that he loved someone. I thought that scene with them in the barn was actually quite nice.
Yeah.
It felt like I was seeing different layers of Bond than I don't normally see.
Right, right.
So I do appreciate some aspects of it, but I almost wonder if
that's
more...
You liked it when he hit that lady.
That's every James Bond, though.
That's true.
I just think he's just a little bit more of a dimension we haven't seen, but that could be more of the writing more so than the acting.
Acting, that's fair. That's fair.
So that's why I put him at second.
Okay, all right. I agree with you. I think we're at the same. We're on the same boat.
Sean Connery's still number one,
of course. So far.
So far, but this movie,
Bullet Holes, I'm gonna probably give it a 3.5.
I was just going to give it a 3.
3's probably it. You know what? I'm just going to go with my, first instinct. 3 it is.
I think it's 3. Like,
I'm going to stick with 3. There's some good things. There's some bad things.
There's some good things in the end. Kind of boring in the end. Like, I except for that.
You didn't like the shootout? Or
the shootout was sick, but then I had to watch so much skiing scenes.
Yeah.
They really shot a lot of skiing scenes, and that's hard to really describe that, like, you're sitting
just
here
just like
10
the underwater scenes.
Yes, it's just a little too excessive and not impressive. And that could be just because, like, I do feel bad because a lot of these times, like, people are like, older movies don't hold up, blah, blah, they don't look as good. And it's like, yeah, sometimes. But this one doesn't look very good. It's not all exciting.
Well,
all
it
the
looks
time.
Good except for those scenes, I think. Like, true. I think there are a lot of scenes that do look really good.
And there
really
are good. Like good shots of skiing, and then you have to cut to them, the actors.
The face.
skiing, faking skiing as the green screen's going behind him. By the way, the bobsled, they filmed parts of it with the camera just like straight up shaking and spinning around. Whoa. And I'm like, they're not even spinning around though. It was weird.
Yeah.
It just felt like they were like, we got to make this exciting. I don't know how.
Yeah.
Spin the camera around a lot and we'll put that in
the old Michael Bay effect, you know?
Yeah.
So are we watching the next ones?
I mean, I feel like I just
I do
want to
see what the next.
I gotta
we can't
know.
Have a James Bond list that only has four James Bonds on it.
Two of them are from the same movie.
Two of them are the same movie.
No, we can't. And I'm at this point, like, seeing how much they've changed this James Bond from the past one, it's like, oh,
yeah,
we're
starting to get a little better.
And I think that's the problem with a lot of the past Watch So You Can't franchises is
they get worse or they stay the same.
They worse or they stay the same. They don't reinvent themselves.
Yeah.
And like, yes, it's a similar vein, but it's like you're watching like a reboot every so often with a different James Bond. I think that's fascinating. It's like watching a play again.
It's like watching Hellraiser with a different guy playing Hellraiser.
Well, we tried that once.
Yeah,
and it's not great.
Say.
There's one where it was good.
Yeah.
But most of the time it was bad.
It was bad.
But no, it's like watching, to me, it's like watching kind of like a play with a different performance, right? Like this is a different version,
or like an understudy.
Yeah, you're like, oh, it's a different flavor of like something
like,
I know.
Or like when you see different like staging of like Shakespeare plays, it's like you know the story, but like what is the actor going to bring to this that maybe you haven't seen before?
Yes, what's the different interpretation of this? Yeah, and I think that's what's exciting. But there are whole new scripts, and you know, I'm curious. I mean,
I'm curious too. I'm also mostly curious. A friend of ours who maybe will be on the podcast eventually. Has mentioned that one of the interesting things about the James Bond movies is that as technology and filmmaking changes, the movies change along with it.
Yes.
So that's the other thing I'm curious about is like, now that we're slowly starting to move into the 70s, what are the movies going to look like? You know?
Yeah. I mean, this guy said it didn't really, wasn't going to last, you know, during the hippie dippy movie.
That's true. That's why he did not want to become James Bond. So we'll see what happens.
Continue being James Bond.
Yeah, exactly.
So we'll see.
We'll see.
I guess we'll keep watching then.
Guys, what did you think about these James Bond movies? What's your James Bond ranking? Email us an email at theotherhandpodcast.com. You can find us on Facebook or on Instagram. We are on Blue Sky and we have a Discord. Check out our Discord. And if you want to listen to our previous James Bond episodes or keep up to date on the future ones, find them on any podcatching app. And while you're there, please leave a 5-star rating and review. We will read in the show no matter what it says, even if you say that the best James Bond is Peter Sellers.
Ooh.
I know.
Well, at least they didn't say Woody Allen.
Ooh. Good night, everybody.
Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So, you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So, whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
Would you guys like to discuss the movies that we talked about on the podcast, recommend movies for future episodes, or maybe even watch movies with us? Check out the Discord.
You can find the Discord on the latest episodes or on the website, theotherhalfpodcast.com. We're just hanging out chatting.
And while you're there, maybe also check out the second of the Discord, which is specifically for Ethan's streams on Twitch. You get updates as to when he goes live. Just keep up to date with us, with Ethan, the podcast, and the stream.
It's also totally okay if you just want to hang out and talk about the podcast. You could hang out there and maybe we'll see you there and watch a movie or something.
Or maybe you're like, wow, these streams are so much better and you just totally ignore the podcast. That's also another option.
That could happen.
Why not?
The Discord is your oyster. Come join us.
The Discord is your oyster. Join it.